You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
It's just past 10:30 and time for our Motor Zone with James Donaghy from JSJ Motors. Hello, James, and welcome back.
Finally, yeah, back again, yeah.
So finally.
You're back again now with your little arm in plaster there.
Oh my word.
You had problems. My brother sent me videos last night from Kailami with the hailstorms they had. It was horrendous. He's got three cars with broken windscreens, taillights, sunroofs. His wife's garden is destroyed. So he's not in a good mood last night, and his sunlights had hail go through it. So very, very bad news.
It's actually scary all around, isn't it?
It was bigger than golf balls. It was horrendous. He showed me this morning. He says his wife's more pissed off, I think, with her garden than with the cars. Her car's in the garage. It's the way it goes. Unfortunately.
At least I was askew. Now I'm corrected. So, and we will wait and see what happens in 2 weeks' time.
So it doesn't look like you're pointing around the corner anymore. You're pointing straight. Yeah.
Not anymore.
So the taxi knows which way you're going.
How sad. So, James, what is our topic this morning?
There was a couple of things, but it's got people bothered at the moment, and especially there's people from Europe and that, about parted parts are being sold all over the world, and especially and the international guys, the prosecutors are actually going to start going to it in Europe. I think there was a place in Joburg I was reading the other day. There was a couple of million rands worth of fake bearings. I'm not sure which bearings they were, for big machines or for cars or for trucks or something like that. And that's a danger. If we're bringing these things in and they're not like the old SABS, South African Bureau of Standards, used to go to, and I'm not sure how they do it now. Like OE parts, the original manufacturer's seal of approval, things like that. Now you're putting bearings into a truck or into a car and these things collapse while you're driving down the road. There's going to be major, major problems. And also to do with the brake pads. I also found a lot of the very badly manufactured brake pads are coming into this country as well, and they're being sold. And these things normally are going to go onto vehicles that are traveling a lot. We know taxis, etc., things like that. They're trying to save on costs.
Yeah, I just think it's annoying to hear this because it's your life.
It's dangerous.
Danger.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. So that's a problem they've got to look into. Look, they do it a lot with the false Adidas and Nike and stuff like that. They should do it with the car parts.
Yes.
I don't know how the manufacturers get it right. Even spark plugs and things like that we've had before. It looks almost identical, and only I can't tell the difference, but the guys that manufacture them will tell you there's a slight difference, but they don't perform the same. And people have bought them and said, no, but the car doesn't perform the same anymore. They went to the agents. The agents are more expensive. Like they say, original manufacturer, sometimes it's better to buy it.
Yes.
And the performance was back again, and the fuel consumption was down, et cetera, and things like that. But the brake pads is a big worrying thing at the moment. So
it's actually scary to hear this.
It is. I mean, a lot of them, there's big companies that go to Dubai. I think Dubai is the biggest place in the world. They said that they have a buying power for Africa, and they take it to Central Africa and things like that. So, of course, these things come down and they're going to come back and bite us in the backside. And the problem now is when they have accidents, that's the last thing that I think the traffic department looks at. I'm not sure. If there's people killed, do they take the wheels off, have a look at the brake pads, what was fitted? It's happened before, so people are trying to save money. I can understand that, but there's certain parts rather spend a little bit more money on.
But not on a vehicle. A vehicle which is used, it's not a luxury anymore. A vehicle is a necessity.
It
not
is a
luxury.
Necessity.
A luxury.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can get good replacement brake pads that are manufactured by good companies. Firodo, Safeline. There's a lot of them out there. This is just names over the years. And there's other ones that just be careful of. Then just don't perform the same. It'll stop you once. It'll stop you twice. But when it comes to the third and fourth time, they overheat and you end up having no brakes.
Yeah.
So if you're transporting something like you've got a big bucky, you do a lot of trailering with your caravan or boat or something like that, you don't have to stick to the original ones, but you can get a good set of brake pads, rather just go and spend the extra couple of hundred rand and get them, because some brake pads are extremely expensive. So, and that's of course it's what you can afford. And fortunately, you've got to be careful what you can afford. Yeah. Same as the wiper blades, all stress on this thing as well, is that people buy the cheapy wiper blades. They don't last long. Same as the globes. That is another story.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the story that I did pick up on. But the counterfeit, like the counterfeit products, it's a huge money-making thing. I mean, a lot of the older cars, that, the body panels and things like that, they don't get. You can't get from agents anymore. So they've got to go and get the pirate ones because you want to keep your car on the road. And the problem lies is the crumple zones aren't the same as the original ones.
Yeah.
But then I blame the manufacturer. Like even the Golf's handbrake, old Golf's, there's so many of them on the road.
Yeah.
Certain parts you can get, certain parts you struggle to get. You've got to go and get a second-hand one from somewhere and things like that. So be careful what you buy because it can end up costing you your life. And that's a big strange one there. All right, so what I thought I'd do today is we're going to talk a little bit about different types of clutches. It just gives a little bit of an idea. Most people drive on automatics.
A high clutch, a low clutch.
In-between clutch. You got a dry clutch. The dry clutch uses friction. Most cars have the dry clutch, as do a lot of mostly cars and trucks have a big plate that's what they call dry. And so when you push the clutch in, that pushes with it. We either got a cable hydraulic or a clutch hydraulic system as well.
Yes.
So the older cars that you will have a cable. So normally what happens, sometimes the cables wear or they go in skew and the clutch pedal gets extremely hard. It's not, and people say, oh, it's the clutch. It's not a lot of times it's not, it's the cable. The Golfs used to pull through the firewall because the clutch did get hard. And, of course, the firewalls weren't that strong. So just to pull the cable all the way through, and you had no clutch. Same as the little Nissans used to run skew as well, and it used to run. So you used to feel it, especially in traffic. So that everybody's gone to manuals, automatics now, because it's a lot more easier on the left leg.
You don't have to ride the clutch.
Yeah, you don't have to ride the clutch. But then all your new cars have got hydraulic clutches. So the hydraulic from the pedal, self-adjusting, whereas the cable ones you would have to adjust, and if you don't adjust it every now and again, like you'll go, it's premature wears on it because you don't have it. It hasn't got enough free play on it. Whereas the hydraulic clutch was automatically, it does it all the time, but it's more expensive to repair. So it's got what they call a concentric gearbox. It's hydraulically operated, whereas the older cars had hydraulic clutch master that sat on the gearbox.
Yeah.
And the slave sat on the gearbox and the master sat in the car. That's what the master and master and servant type of thing. But that sits now. They've done it and they made it inside the gearbox. So if it leaks, you got to take the whole gearbox out, replace the clutch, replace the concentric bearing, and it adds extra couple of grand onto the job. So it just becomes a little bit more expensive. Then you got other ones. What is that other one? You got a dual clutch, and that's a lot of the dual on the new high performance cars. They've got the DSG gearbox and things like that. It's got a dual clutch system. Also, very expensive to fix as well. The centrifugal clutch that uses on the motorbikes or the automatics. So even the cars have got a type of a centrifugal clutch as well. It's the CVT gearbox. It's very similar to that in a way as well. So, if you've got one of those cars with a CVT gearbox, I recommend every about 100,000 Ks, do an oil change on the gearbox. Especially in the little Hondas, a lot of little Honda Jazzes around you. A lot of Hondas, in fact, if they've got that automatic gearbox, make sure the guys do a service on that gearbox. Just makes it last longer, even with the VWs and that as well. Do that with the centrifugal clutch. Like I say, motorcycles, scooters, chainsaws, auto. So when you rev it up, it comes into play. What else? And you've got a dog clutch. A dog clutch, yes. These are dog clutches, but these are more for big trucks. So you don't. This was a single revolutionary clutch that was developed in the 19th century to power machinery such as shears or presses, where a single pull of the operating lever, later press button, would trip a mechanism it would catch. In 1928, what was a Frederick G. Creed developed a single turning spring clutch that was particularly well suited to represent stop start action required in teleprinters. So there's just a lot of, if you want to go through all this and see what type of clutches there are, I think.
Yeah.
Now, It's the same as the old people used to tell you double clutching. Double clutching was because of the gearbox, not because of the clutch itself. So the clutch used to disengage, but you had to double clutch it to slow down the gears in the gearbox so they could mesh up a bit. And that's when the word synchro mesh came in. It has got a big brass. It's all technical stuff.
Yes.
And it lines up and it makes it a smoother gear change. Whereas if you were used to, if people in those used to drive a truck, you used to miss a gear, you used to have to stop and start all over again because you just couldn't get into gear unless you had a little bit of experience, and they could be quite finicky to get in. So you down the road, you hear this clunk, 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 and
you stop
grating the gears, you know. So, I mean, you've missed a gear in your car with a manual and you get this grating sound.
That's right.
You've missed it. So you have to put your foot in the clutch again, let it line up again, and this little brass, gear makes it line up, and it'll do that all that nice smoothie thing for you. So it's quite a thing. What else was there? I'm just trying to see what else. Electric magnetic clutch. These were internal parts for clutch assemblies, but there's so many different clutches. Kickback clutch brakes, belt clutch, BMC clutch, electronic clutch, a wrap spring clutch. But most cars now use a dry clutch plate. They've changed the design over the years. We used to have a big solid flywheel. This used to be a heavy solid flywheel. And you had your clutch plate on top of that with a couple of springs in it. They were absorption springs. So when you put your foot on the clutch and it pushed the pressure plate onto the clutch plate, this absorbs some of the pressure. So you had these little springs that went through. And a lot of times they used to break off, go between the clutch, you end up having no clutch. But only more if the guys used to try and do wheel spins, being silly. They used to break off and get jammed in between everything. You could start it in gear, you'd get somewhere, but you put your foot on the clutch, it doesn't operate properly. Yeah. So it doesn't release, as they say. Then they've changed the new ones to what they call a dual mass flywheel, which is also a lot more expensive. So it's the flywheel now absorbs that pressure. So it actually moves in a special mounting, like a rubber mounting type thing. And what happens is as you put your foot on the clutch, the flywheel actually moves slightly, absorbs that pressure, and not onto the clutch plate anymore. And that becomes very expensive. So if that starts to normally rattle, and anywhere from a dual mass flywheel anywhere from R5,000 up to R25,000 just for that part, and depending on car. So, and on top of that, you still got to get your clutch, and you got to get your concentric bearing, and all the labor that goes with it. And then you got the self-adjusting pressure plate. That's also a newer one as well. Not much; it just adjusts the pressure slightly onto the clutch plate. It's all supposed to be make it a little bit smoother.
So this is all for the newer cars. Because on the older cars,
it was a normal dry clutch with a cable that you used to push down, and it used to get hard and everything, and used to.
But it was
break.
Easier then, because if the clutch cable snapped, you can replace the cable. Yes.
Reynolds, Reynolds is one of the worst designed clutch cables. I don't know if anybody's done one. It comes out the firewall, does a 90-degree turn left, and it goes. And there's not even any funny design to it. It's just a straight out, and it's extremely difficult to replace, but it's not often they actually give problems. They'll say that about it them, even though it's they can make it a bit hard. I've only replaced one, and it wasn't even because of that. It was for some other reason. So not too bad, they think, but most like I say, most of them now are hydraulic and they're quite cool, but it does cost you money on the long run when you've got to change the concentric bearing. And you've got to be careful with the concentric bearings. If you haven't got any experience on doing them,
don't touch.
You've got to. It's got to get bled afterwards. And it's not a conventional bleeding system, as everybody thinks. You pump it, and open up, and it goes. You've got to be. It's quite difficult to sometimes to do it. But that's about the clutches and things like that. I mean, you've got things. I mean, in the new cars, everybody wants an automatic. I mean, you've got these little CVT, like I said, the Hondas and that, have got a little CVT gearbox, same as the VW. Where's the wife has sold her Kia, and that was a 5-speed automatic gearbox with a learning system in it as well. Whereas a new car now is a 7-speed automatic gearbox.
Okay.
So even the Ford Rangers and Amaroks, I think, is up to an 8 or 9-speed automatic gearbox.
Aren't they going to, they are leaning more to an automatic than gears, are they not? Because I think it's easier, it's less stress, because, you know, you can stop when you don't roll back. I think there's a lot of aces, but it sounds like everyone's leaning.
Well, it's a lot more comfortable. I think when people are going to the automatics, I mean, Americans love the automatics and they've got a lot of open roads, but it's the amount of traffic you're going to sit in. So if you, as you get older, of course, your back goes. We all know that. Yes. So it's the way you're sitting in this chair. And if the pedal's getting harder, it becomes uncomfortable. Whereas the automatic, you just sit there and you...
That's right.
They used to say it's a lazy man's car.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you suffer from something like that, it's the best way to go. I can't say no.
Yeah.
So that's I would suggest it to anybody.
Well, I've had both, and I have to say it was, like you said, relaxing. You don't have to worry.
Yeah.
Because it changes the gears for you. You just put your foot down, you put your brakes, and you know what I mean? But then I love gears. I love gearing down and all those things. You know what I mean?
Old school.
And having said old school, I must be honest. I think I've gone preferably automatic.
Automatic.
You know? Although my car isn't, but, you know, in the next life. Automatic.
Yeah, I mean, even a lot of the motorbikes now have gone got automatic gearboxes. The Honda Adventure, the big Honda Adventure CVT DCT, I think it's called DCT. It's got an automatic box as well.
Really?
My brother's Honda 750 NC has also automatic gearbox. You know, clutch. You can use it manual. It's got a little button. You can change the gears with a little button.
Yeah.
Or you just keep it and it'll change everything for you. Excuse me. But the automatics are all. And the manuals now have anti-rollback. So if you're sitting and you've got your foot on the brake, you've got it in first gear, you take your foot off the brake, the car doesn't just roll backwards. It'll keep it there for 1 or 2 seconds while you engage the clutch and you get it to the thing, and it'll pull off. No rollback whatsoever.
But this is only in the newer cars. Definitely not in the newer cars.
And then you've got the newer ones with the stop-start. The wife's one's got a stop-start in it. So it's but it only works with the aircon off. Not with it.
All right. Yes.
So you should want the aircon on, and the fuel consumption's not that bad either. You know, everybody said. I think that was the biggest concern about people with the manuals, automatics. It brings up the fuel consumption. With your manual car, you have a 5 or 6-speed gearbox, whereas you used to have a 4. Your automatic gearbox can go anywhere from 5 to 9 gears. Some, I think, I've got 10.
My word.
So, but it's just it just makes it smoother changing. That's all it is, just to be the smoother changing. And, of course, if you can afford something like that, you want the smoothest ride physically possible.
Of course, yes.
So if you're going to buy even the DSG gearboxes, you know, you see the guys with little pedals and things. All the top cars have got Tiptronics. It used to be called Tiptronic. Now it's not anymore.
What's
that,
it called now?
It's a... What is it? Oh, now it's gone out my head. But you can call it a Tiptronic, but it's a manual. But you see the racing cars
and the Ferraris, Lamborghinis.
Everybody's got it. And Formula One, you'll see the guy's got that little pedal change gearbox up and down
with a little steel wheel.
And the steel wheel's got a lot of settings and things like that. But when you look at it and you go back to the older days and the guys had to take their hands off the steering wheel to change gears and then go around the corner, they still had to handle the wheel spin and the backside. Yes. That was a driver. Today it's just an electronics engineer that knows how to handle a car. That's my...
There we go. You see.
But look, it's made it faster and they're taking a lot of the technology and giving it to the people on the street.
Yes.
They're making it into the cars. So... Like I said, years ago, they had this, the 750s, they put that, what was that name of it? It was a catching system. So instead of wheel spinning, it would catch and it would judder. Yeah. And they took that from Formula One and they showed it to us on ice. Instead of the car, you trying to control the wheel spin or like on sand and things like this, the wheel used to grab. So it used to, the ABS, it used the ABS system, and it used to pulsate the brake pads, and the wheels used to jerk. It's the same as they tell you when you're slowing down. If you start coming into a corner and your wheels lock, release the pedal, pump. They're calling pumping the pedal.
Yes.
So that's exactly what ABS does and all that. So at that time, you can still steer the car. If you keep your foot on the pedal and the brakes lock, away it goes. And this is what this sticker does. It just pulsates the back wheel, and it gets you going as quick as possible. But with four-wheel drive, everything's four-wheel drive now. Not, well, all-wheel drive, not four-wheel drive. Sorry, there's a difference. Four-wheel drive is the off-road guys with their 4x4s. Yes. All-wheel drive is the cars that's got four-wheel drive, but they call it all-wheel drive. So for better handling.
It's dual. You can use it either.
Not really. I wouldn't recommend it. Okay. Not on all the cars. Right. There might be like an SUV, but it's not made for off-road.
Yeah.
You know,
but you do hear some of the...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, I've got the SUV, and it's a 4x4 as well.
a lot of 4x4s haven't been off road. Yeah. As a scented mommy's cars, as they call them. Yes. For this is being thing, it's not the pavement. Yeah. No, but all wheel drive and 4-wheel drivers, it's the same thing, but it's differently aspected for that vehicle.
Yes.
It just makes it better road holding. So if you've got rainy weather and things like it slippy on the roads, the 4-wheel all-wheel drive car grips the road a lot better, makes it safer for you behind the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And that's what all technology is to based on you to try and get the best driving ability and safety ability out of the vehicle to protect you and your family.
Yeah.
And that's what
it's all about.
And this is where this thing comes back in. If you're going to buy something better. And I watch a lot of videos of guys repairing cars, and they say that guys have refitted a part that's come from wherever. I'm not going to name any names. It's faulty. It doesn't tell the computer that it's running properly, so that it brings up the same fault. Guy goes and buys the original one, puts it in.
Perfect.
And this guy's now paid three people to do the same job, but one person
and
sorted
it out. It's sad because, I mean, safety is what is needed, especially a car. I mean, safety, you need to be safe in a car.
Yeah.
And how do you know? I mean, you put your
trust in
the
someone.
Hands
yes, you do.
Of a company that knows what they're talking about. But then to use pirate parts or the parts, but it's not correct, it's scary.
No, it is. I mean, you can't blame the workers. It's what their bosses allow them to do.
It's what comes in.
Yes.
And if you don't know, I mean, we wouldn't know. I mean, I know you would tell me, whoa, that's not the original part, but you don't get everyone doing that.
You can use, I'm not saying you can't use pirate parts, don't get me wrong, but it's just the quality of that pirate park. I mean, the part, sorry. So everything is like the Bosch. We know Bosch and Siemens are mostly OE parts like sensors, control units, things like that. Go out, try and spend a little bit more on a sensor. Some sensors will last, some sensors will don't. And the guys will tell you, electrical components do not have a guarantee. When you take it out,
that's it.
Whereas if you go and buy, if you tend to buy a better quality one, it's been tested. You know it's been tested. And if it is a fault, most of the guys will tell you, okay, I've sent it in for testing. It actually is a fault.
And by the agents, it's always under guarantee, is it not?
Not always, no. Electrical components, no.
Okay.
So you just got to remember that.
If
you're buying electrical component, there's no guarantee on electrical component, even from – you'll see it on the invoice. The invoice from the agents or anybody else will tell you there's no guarantee on electrical components. It's like you buying a globe from them and you're going back when you've touched it with your fingers and 10 days later it's shot. And you go back and tell them, but this globe blown. But the guy says, that's just the way it is. You know, you can't – unfortunately, it's happened to me. I've bought a globe, put it in blue. If the spares guys trust you, they'll probably give you a new one. But if they don't know you, no. People, you'll see that's why the guys mark all the parts when they sell them, because people are so, they're quite shocked. They're very shocky people out there.
That's actually scary to know, because you go in with the trust.
Yes, everybody trusts everybody else.
Trust and hoping that it comes back to you.
Well,
and sadly that some people look at it completely.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of it out there that the climate now has brought it all about.
I think it's changed.
People have changed, and we've just got to do that thing. We've got to bring up our kids in the right way, and it's a snowball effect, as they say. Nice. But if you do it correctly. I think it'll come back and help you.
No, eventually it does.
So
for all the sharks out there, we are not impressed. For the honest guys out there,
cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, everybody tries. I think everybody tries, but sometimes you do get caught out, and it catches you out as well. It's caught me out as well. So, but at the end of the day, I can't charge the customer twice for the same thing. I've taken the chance. It doesn't work.
That's
the way it is.
Is there anything else you want to share with us, Jans, and put out your number? I know you're extremely busy, which is great.
Unfortunately, it's only me, so it's 081-070-4919. And the thing is, like I said, and I'll bring it up next week. go and wash your car. And we'll go through a couple of things about that. Because what happens is, and even this thing on the guy brought this up, if you wash your car, you pick up faults with it. And it's so much easier to plan, and you're washing your car and you can see some faults coming up, get it sorted out before it's too late. Because you leave it dirty,
you don't
see it, and it does help.
It's too late.
But that's about it. Everybody make sure, have a good time.
Yes, James, and I see you're on the two wheels.
I'm on my two wheels, after the Buffalo. Good, relaxed, chill time. Sat and watched the rugby win. I'd just say the Komiki guys were driving us nuts because the Komiki troop was sitting in there. They were watching the rugby on the little handheld phone.
Yes, that's right. And of course,
the screen went dead. And I don't know who it was, but one of the guys are going, something happened. And we all rush over to see his phone, and he goes, he. So to you, young man, he knows who it is. It was entertainment, but it was good. It was good fun.
I think I know Warren, dear is Warren. But you have to agree with us, James, sitting in that wall, 2,500 of us in that tent.
That was good fun, eh?
Standing, singing the anthem. And we were all at the end of the seat. And when we won, wasn't it just amazing?
Yeah, finally, it was nice. So we just got to see if the guys can do it against Australia on Thursday with the cricket.
Yes. Look, we can't just rule them out. It's a cricket. What about the girls' soccer, the sevens?
I'm going to the sevens. It's coming up soon, next month on the 9th.
So we're
going to enjoy it.
There we go. So thank you, James.
And a pleasure.
Safe home.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.